Okay, today's daf is daf Nun. Oh boy, Chamishim Sha'arei Bina. We're going to really need those for this Barnea put it going for the gold today in Perek HaZahav. Fourth Perek above Metzia, and Aaron's going to give us a big smile so we can get going. Oh boy. And we're holding, once again, I think it's worthwhile to be holding at a review of the Mishnah on Mem Tet Amud Beit so we can get into our brand new sugya all over again. And our brand new sugya talks about price gouging and how much you can get away with. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, there are three levels of the din of ona'ah. There is, first of all, the market variability level. The market variability level means that anything that was overpriced, just because you can buy it cheaper somewhere else, that does not define ona'ah. Because we understand that there are variations in retail prices. And therefore, when you go and buy something and find it cheaper down the block, you can't come back and say, I found it cheaper, I want to return it. It's only where it's in violation of the standard variation of retail prices. So, the standard variation is below 1/6. If it's below 1/6, it's not clear what that 1/6 is measured by. But assuming, to keep it simple, that the 1/6 is measured by the actual average market value of the item itself. So you have 1/6 spread above that to overcharge without anybody being able to force you to cancel the sale or to give back the money that he could have gotten it cheaper elsewhere. Either that would be because, as some of the Rishonim say, anything less than that is assumed to be mechila, because people take their chances and they understand that some stores charge a little bit more. They don't necessarily look all over the world to find the cheapest price, and therefore department stores have a place in this world, or used to anyway. Convenience. Convenience, exactly. Then you have the level of what the Mishnah says was a shtut, or according to Rabbi Tarfon, appeared to be, and see it's not so simple, but appeared to be shlish, where over there that precise amount is considered to be beyond what people would be mochel. Rashi talks about only the mechila in the spread area. Other Rishonim talk about a spread by fiat. In other words, the Chachamim were metakein that, look, you have this area that you can charge a little bit more, a little bit less, because there's no way for us to accurately, precisely define an actual price for an item that's going to be so precise that any deviation, even less than a shtut, is going to be, because we'll see in the Gemara we have rayas one way or the other. Richie, you missed the beep. So unfortunately, we finished the Pekarfi without you because we figured you weren't coming at all. Since you said you had it perfectly timed. You know, I'm really sorry, but you can make another. Yeah. No. This is the shear that we're koveya. 1/6 is already a person is not thinking to himself, I never would deal with this guy. He just maybe get his money back. More than 1/6 is considered to be not a sale at all. Such a sale is batel and mavuta. It doesn't matter if you want to redo the sale, that's your business. But basically, there is no sale. So it's an illegal sale. Now, I want to make very clear, this is not directly connected to the sugya that we had before, that if somebody wants to make money, you should make money up to 1/6. It's not the same shear. That din of 1/6 has to do with the moral correctness of making more money than is necessary to maintain a going business. In other words, that's the difference in the spread between the wholesale price and the retail price. That has nothing to do with ona'ah. Ona'ah is talking about the spread of retail prices that themselves up to 1/6. And then beyond that, beyond the retail price, not beyond the wholesale price. So certainly it's possible. As a matter of fact, I mean, basically what that boils down to, the profit taking that you're taking is the sense that the buyer knows perfectly well that you've marked it up significantly to cover your overhead and your need to make a living. So he understands it's as if you put up a sign, all prices are 30% above the wholesale price, which is normal. I mean, it's got to make some money, and it's costing me a lot of money to keep this store going, and so on and so forth. So, memela, that's bechlal not ona'ah. Will you tell a guy, look, you can get it cheaper down the street. I'm a convenience store, and I'm telling you right now that I'm charging more. That's not ona'ah. So then there's a question of, is it right to take more profit? And so on and so forth. Okay, that's a different issue. So now let's take a look at the Mishnah. Ha'ona'a arba'a kesev, the precise. Ona'a means precise ona'a, which means what we look at is how much was cheated. Above that shear, we don't call it ona'a. We call it bitul mekah, because that's not even a sale. Beneath that price, we don't call it ona'a, because that's the spread. So ona'a is a specific value at which we deal with your ability to get back the money that you were cheated. No. So the ona'a is arba'a kesev miyasrin, the arba'a kesev l'sel. The ona'a consists of 4 units of silver. If you're talking about what units, I'm talking about the units called a ma'a, of which there's 24 of in a sela, which boils down to shtut l'mekach. Now, why we go through all of that kvetcherai and don't simply say shtut l'mekach is the subject of a lot of discussion. Because who cares what unit you're using? Okay. Ad matay mutar lahachzir. How long do you have to, now it sounds like to, return the purchase? We'll see that that's not so partial. It may mean how much time do you have to come back and demand your money back. So in other words, you're throwing the thing back down at the counter because you demand your money back, the difference between what this guy charged you. Not that you can tell the guy, well, I want to return it. No. Okay, so how long do you have that? Ad kedeshi areh letagar olekrova. It's the amount of time that would be normal, says Tosafot. Say other Rishonim, reality, that it would take you to, that we estimate that you could have shown this to somebody. Anything less is considered to be a breakdown in due diligence, and breakdowns in due diligence are your problem, not the seller's problem. So Mamela, any time that we see you exercising less than due diligence, we say, obviously, you didn't care enough, which boils down to Mechila. We can't have a situation in which people... yes, you could say theoretically, well, I could be v'chayev of a guy due diligence. So he doesn't care that much that he's willing to forego his shower. No. So you could say that. But again, since we need to have commerce in some type of normal way, we can't have people coming back 2 months later and saying, my uncle just came and he's a bookie and this kind of stuff, and he says he can get it on the internet for 50% less. No. So what is the shear?
According to Mishnah, the uncle doesn't have to be.
No, he does. He has to be
an expert.
He does have to be an expert.
What would they owe?
Krovo means a korov that not necessarily has to go to no business, but that it's normal to assume that he knows somebody that has an idea of what this is really worth.
Always have a relative.
No, that's for sure. That's true. Oh, not clear. Very good point that Ravati's bringing up. Is this referring to how much time do you have to demand the ona'a back? Or is this also referring to the bitul mekach period? But if it was really a bitul mekach, then it's considered to be mechila also within this time. That isn't clear. Could be for bitul mekach, the sale is canceled automatically. Anytime that you discover that the sale is canceled, you can come back and say, I'm giving it back. Maybe. That the Gemara is going to discuss. Now, Scott just raised the question, why do we say mutar? Mutar isn't the right word. Well, we should say yachol, right? So Rashi explains the concept of mutar over here is because until now we've been talking about yachol, which was not mutar, namely misha para, or dvarim yesh b'mechusrei amana. So even though you could do something, either in ruach hachomim nochaimen, or you're going to actually have misha para, this mishnah contrasts that. It says, no. Over here, if you were cheated, lechatchila, you come and you demand the money that was cheated by you back. Absolutely. Or perhaps even to give the whole thing back, as we'll see. Now, Hora Rabbi Tarfon Belod, and this becomes Rabbi Tarfon's story in Lod, becomes a key to unlocking the entire relationships of the value and the amount of time. Because clearly this is a story that interrelates the ultimate meaning of those two shiurim. So first Rabbi Tarfon gave a hora in Lod, in which he said, actually ona'a is shmona kesev misrim v'arba kesev l'sela, which equals shlish of the mekah. Oh man, were they happy in Lod. Samchut agarei Lod, because they were all Persian carpet sellers. So I mean the prophet, the gaucho was just like completely out of hand. This way he's giving them an enormous, he doubled the amount of money that they could make by cheating and without necessarily the mekach being bottled, right? So, then he said, Amar lahem, but the ruling is that you've got either 24 hours or the pashtus is kalayom up to the end of the day, which is, as the Rishonim point out, problematic, because then if you bought towards the end of the day, what do you mean kalayom? Kalayom means 24 hours, like modern dinner. Okay, in any event, he gave you longer to get your money back. Right, so now you understand the issues that are being raised. Because the question that was raised earlier by Rabati is obviously very central over here. If Lamaisa, what's so funny? If you've got longer to get your money back, even Lagabe the Bitobeka, then I understand why this was horrific, because now they can come and cancel the whole sale. What would be precisely the value of Rabbi Tarfon and the loss of Rabbi Tarfon if we're talking about the case of the Shtut or the Yetter Shtut? So it's a question, if you have the time to be able to return it. But I mean, isn't a spread of an additional double the amount of money that you can work, isn't that worth more than the amount of time that you return it? But these are issues that clearly are going to crack open this whole problem. What are we talking about over here? And what does the din mean? Can you get your money back completely and return the whole sale? Or just you're going to get back the ona'ah? Also seems to be a function of this. Rabbi Tarfon ends up being very, very important. But we understand that we know very little from this Mishnah. We don't even know how much the shtut is. Because the Mishnah has not made it clear about whether we're talking about the shtut measured in terms of the value of the object that is sold, or we're talking about a shtut in terms of the transaction. How much of the transaction was cheating? And those are two completely different issues. I mean, you can even conceive of cases where vis-a-vis the transaction, you have something that's less than a shtut, and vis-a-vis the money, you have something that's more than a shtut. I mean, so it's not at all clear here. All of this has to be seen in the Gemara. We'll get into the details. This first way.
Also, in terms of an it's always that the buyer is
eating. No, absolutely not. Let's wait, because that's going to rapidly turn into a central point here in the Mishnah. Okay? But the Mishnah seems to be talking about the buyer being cheated, not the seller being cheated. Why do I say that? Because it says, how much time do you have to change your mind? The amount of time that it takes to show it. Show what? If you're a seller, you don't have anything to show. Right? So there's got to be a purchase in your hand, which is why the Mishnah seems to be focusing on a buyer entirely. We know that it can't be true, because the Pasuk says both. Kitin kru mekar, menkar, o kano miyada mitecha. So either way, you cannot cheat. That, remember, we went through. That's why we needed the repetition of why does it say both. And that's why we said it's not a raya that necessarily Mashiach is kona miniraita, the way that Reish Lakish was learning. That's Rabbi Yochanan Taina. Okay. So now let's get to the Gemara and take a look at how we start breaking apart this Mishnah.
Rabbi Tarfon seems to kick us into that. In Agrei Lud, he seems to talk about a professional seller. I mean,
yeah, professional carpet seller.
Yeah, but as opposed to O'Connor and Tzad means people who sell each other. No,
that's right.
On Tagrei Lud throughout
Shem. No. Interesting. Itmar. Rav says that what we're talking about over here is shtut of the mekach, meaning of the item. So what defines the sixth is always the relationship of the amount of money paid for the item to the actual average retail price of the item. Rich,
yeah.
Don't you want a cup of that nice coffee?
I'm drinking it.
Maybe drink it and then drink it.
Decaf?
No decaf. No. Richie almost got me yesterday, let me tell you. It was a serious situation. But it was, I'll tell you, it was Mita Kenegan Mita. He was sitting at my table and talking, I fell fast asleep. So he says, if I had a box of Kleenex.
What are you going to do?
My wife is ready to bring him the box. Itmar, let's see that again.
What was the subject?
Rav Amar Shtut Mekach Shaninu. So Rav says it's always value in the difference between the price paid to the value of the item that was sold. Where Shmuel says, no, it could also be a sixth in terms of the ma'ot, how much of the money that was paid was proportionately cheated. So that's a big difference, as we're going to see. So that, too, would also be called shtut, is the shtut of onanami shaninu. So let's take a look at the cases so we can clearly see, since people have a difficult time of imagining the mathematical interrelationship between these two things. Let's take now some concrete cases. You go ahead and you take something that's worth six, and you sell it for five. So shavi shita b'chamisha. So over there, the seller is now in the position of having been cheated by one sixth of the six, because he only made five on something that was worth six. Or Shavishita Bishiva. You took it. This, of course, is the easiest example. We actually take six, and now we can easily break it up. So you have something that's worth six, take 1/6. Add that to the price. You sold it for 7. That's definitely the sixth of the Mekach. Everybody agrees that there, Kuli Alma, lo pligi, the Batar Mekach Azlina. The primary definition of Ona'ah is indeed in terms of how much above or below price of the Mekach did you pay or did you receive. Now, that's called ona'ah. But where would we get into a problem? We would get into a problem if something was worth 5, and you went ahead and sold it for 6. Or the other way around, something was worth 7, and you paid 6. Now, in those cases, a shavi chamisha b'shita, so what happened over here? It was basically 1/6 of the price that you should have received, right? But it's actually 1/5 of the actual price that was paid. So now we get to our argument. So according to Shmuel, who says, well, you can also look batar ma'ot. In each of these cases, the amount of money that was involved in the ona'ah was 1/6 of the exchange. So therefore, what's important to me is you paid 6. How much of that 6 was ona'ah? So if you're talking about the actual value, it was 1/5 of the value. But 1/6 of the money that I received was above value. So that was ona'ah, according to Shmuel, because it's 1/6 of the money received, right? No. There's no reason to complicate it. This is the simplest case. Take 6, and now see how it relates to 6. How do you measure the shtut? So if you've got, you're looking at the value of the item, if you sold an item 5 for 6, then you were actually overcharging by 1/5, right? But it's still only 1/6 of the money that changed hands was ona'ah. So Shmuel says, okay, that's also 1/6. That's 1/6 of the money that changes hands. The same thing is true if you sold it for 7. So now that's less. Okay, that would be less than the value of the 6. Okay, but nonetheless, Shmuel says, in both of these cases, it's ona'ah, which according to Rav, you always look at the value of the chefetz itself. So if it was shavi chamisha b'shita, so now that means that you actually overcharged by a full 1/5. 1/5 is too much. You can overcharge by 16.6%.
Up to.
Right, and that's it. And over here, you overcharge by 20% of the actual value. Okay, so then, if that's the case, you have a bitul mekach over here. Whereas if you took a shavi shiva b'shita, so now something that was worth 7 was sold for 6. Again, according to Shmuel, he's saying, all right, how much now did you pay? 6. So then the factor was shavi shiva was all 6. Okay, so then this would be ona'ah. Whereas according to Rav says, though it's less than the 6, but it's b'chilah. So in both directions, let's please make sure that we understand this perfectly well, because otherwise you could give up on the rest of the daf, okay? So let's please get this straight. You can have in either direction. You can have it that Rav now would be saying that it's less, or Rav saying that it's more, and Shmuel saying that it's precisely. Because according to Shmuel, if you can figure out a way that we view this as a 6th, I don't care if it's in terms of the mekach, meaning the actual item, or if it's in terms of the percentage of the money paid. And by the way, this is always confusing when you walk into a store that's having a sale. They do the same thing. They confuse you by what percent off. No, so what do I mean when I say what percent off? What percent off of the value of the thing? Should I get to get half the price? Or are they saying that you're going to save half of what you would have otherwise?
Well, we normally charge, which is 200%.
All right, so in any event, says Shmuel, if there's any way that you can figure out that this is a 6th, it's a 6th. According to Robert, he says, anyway, look at the value if it was undercharged by 1/6 precisely, overcharged by 1/6 precisely of the item, then you have bitul mekach. So that in the case of an overcharge of 1/5, this is a bad time to fall asleep. This is it. You've got to hear this. So if you overcharge by 1/5 of the value, says Shmuel, yeah, but then what did he pay? He paid 1/5 more, which is 1/6 out of what he paid. Because he paid 6 instead of 5. That's a 6th of what he paid. A 6th of what he paid is considered to be ona'ah, not bitul mekach. It's not more than a 6th. Right? Says Rav, what are you talking about? It's far more than a 6th. It's 20%. It was only worth 5 and he paid 20% more. Right? Perfect example. The other direction is also true. Something is worth 7. And you paid 6. So the guy comes along and he says to you, this is ona'ah, the seller. I didn't realize it was worth so much. I want to cancel the sale. I want you to pay me the difference in the money. The guy says, what do you mean? It was less than what it is that you were paying. Okay, so here again, I mean, it's less than what the sixth of the Mecca was worth, seven, and I paid certainly not a difference of 16%. So I think it's a mechila. Okay, that's the question. Is it mechila or is it ona'ah? So there Rav would be saying, well, in terms of the chafetz worth seven. 1/7 is less than 1/6. So that means that it's mechila. Shmuel says that's only true in terms of the value of the chafetz. But in terms of the money, it's precisely 1/6 of the money. You paid six. Take 1/6 of six, makes it seven. Add that additional dollar, zuz, or ma, whatever it is. Add it to the six and you get seven. Uh-huh. So you have ona'ah. So you can have it in both directions. Shmuel can be machmer, Shmuel can be mekel. But the point is, there's a different standard according to Shmuel than it is according to Rav. So that gives us a spread, aliba to Shmuel. No spread, aliba to Rav.
It's just that according to Shmuel, you know, usually the actual sums that most of the time, it's more likely you'll have where one side will say it's more than a six and it's totally bottle. The other way, say it's less than a six. I don't even have to give it back to you.
No. Let me discuss that. Okay. Rav Moti is raising an interesting case. See, what we did over here is we changed the cases. We went from 7 to 6 and from 5 to 6. What Ramati is raising is an interesting case, which, for instance, let's say something is worth 60, and now you pay 51. So now what happens is that it's more than your 16.6. If you're taking, but it's less. So that means that it's either, it's not that it's precisely a 6. See, the cases that we created was, it's either precisely a 6 or it's more than a 6. It's either precisely a 6 or it's less than a 6. Is there a spread or not? Shmuel says, yeah, there's a spread. But how about if it's not a 6 for sure? It's either less than a 6 or it's more than a 6. If you jiggle the numbers, again, for example, the case that Rishonim speak about is that case. 60 for 51. When you hit 60 for 51, then you're talking about 9 out of 60. Okay, so that's the question. What are you looking at? Are you looking at the thing, or are you looking at how much you paid? So over there, you either go below a 6 or you go above a 6. So what happens then? What do we look at? Because Shmuel didn't discuss what you do where you don't have a 6. He discussed if you do have a 6 in any direction, what the halacha is. So there you have a major machlokas Rishonim. No, well, not really. No, it's not really true.
Precision is less likely to take place.
It's not precision. It has to do, if you graph out where you end up with the difference, it's far more likely that you're not going to end up with a spread of less to more. You'll have more and more, more and much more, or less and much less. But to find a case where you're going to have, you're right near the middle, where it's less on one side and more on the other side, do it, do the math.
But it's even less likely to get a precise 50.
That is true. That is true, yes. So now there's a major machlokas Rishonim, what happens in that case. And it's a very, very enlightening machlok. Because what the Mordechai says in that case is that since Shmuel said, gam ma'ot, it's clear that the ikr is the mecca. So you've got a contradiction between one and the other. Go according to the value of the chafetz and the deviation from the value of the chafetz. However, the Ritva says something that is far more beautiful. The Ritva says that what Shmuel is saying is, basically, that anything that cannot be defined by both standards is the middle stage of shtut. So that shtut, it's in the same way that you understand, that when Shmuel said, well, if you can find a shtut, either in terms of the ma'ot or in terms of the mecca, that's considered to be shtut. So what was Shmuel saying? He was saying that the concept of shtut is actually a spread, because as Rav Mati pointed out, what's the chance it's going to be exactly a shtut? So Shmuel is saying, no, there is a very big chance, because shtut could mean anything between X and Y, depending on whether it's mekach or ma'ot. So if you extend that logic, it doesn't matter whether it's exactly a shtut, says the Ritva. All Shmuel is saying is, if you can't, you can't define it both ways as a shtut, then it's called the area of a shtut, basically. That is shtut. So if it's not clearly Bitul Mecca or not clearly Mechila, it's a shtut. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh
Bidvaro. Okay. If not defined in both ways.
It's either, what Shmuel is saying is that we take into consideration both the Mecca and the Ma'ot. So therefore, if you can't define it by both of those standards as being Bitul Mecca or Mechila, it's shtut. That's what the Ritva says, which is brilliant. Shmuel is just giving a broader, he's saying you need to fill both criteria. That's what he's saying. Exactly. It's beautiful now.
Right. It's just that part that almost never
occurs. Right, because really it boils down to a psychological relationship. That's what he's saying. In other words, as long as a person can feel that he's within that area, he doesn't feel that this is outrageous. He feels, I want my money back, the extra money. We can't just be mavata the whole sale. And on the other hand, he also is ready to say, look, I spent so much money already in Afkamina. If it's, you know, it's not a full six more what I spent, you know, and vice versa, if you're the seller. So all that Shmuel is giving a psychological spread. Since a person will take for himself a benchmark of shtutz, no matter where he finds it, to make himself feel good. So then fine, you've got a nice wide area in which we're calling that a shtutz.
Well, ends up with a thing which is
exactly, which is a line.
Very thin line, which almost
which is far more difficult to believe. Right.
Is there a huge difference between the fact that a retailer will charge less or charge more? If he charges less than what the value is by goods,
yes.
Because he's made a mistake.
Yes, yes.
Whereas if it's more, it's because he's greedy.
Yes, we'll see the differences between cases of people who are meant to know the price and personal sales where a guy has no idea. You walk into an antique store, you know, and you found the Picasso, and you paid the guy $3 for the old picture that some idiot wrote, you know, must have painted. And I'll charge you 50 cents more for the frame. So that's the question. What about a case like that? You know, is all fair in love and war?
And art.
Same thing, right? Average retail price.
Fair trade item.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, actually, Besdin has people going around the shuk, always determining those things to check your weights and measures. And so, just like we do nowadays, you know, you find actual people coming around, like in gas stations and so on. They will actually check your pumps. I've been there, seen it happen. They check and then they stamp it. No. They stamp the pump that this has been checked and it's accurate. And when it says a gallon, it's a gallon. You know, or this store is the gallons have been checked. Says a kilo, it's a kilo. And so Besdin does that, and Besdin also goes out to handle price gougers. It doesn't have to do with control. Okay. So there, I'm telling you that's the understanding of the Rishonim of a shtus. The variations that are accepted between lowest price and highest price is no more than a shtus. If you're charging more than that, then you're cheating. Maybe that's the shot. Again, it's not clear whether we're talking about the lowest possible price or whether the matila goes according to an average price. All of these things are discussed among the Rishonim. Again, it really depends on whether the focus is matila or the focus is the shir that the Rabbonim were koveya. No, if it's just a question of the Rabbonim being koveya, so then they can be koveya from the lowest to the highest, the spread, rather than from an average. Okay. Anyway, getting back now to the Gemara. We'd like to see whether we can bring a raya to either Rav or Shmuel. So again, according to Rav, who says, Bater Mecha Chazlinan, so then Shavi Hamisha Beshita is more than a sixth. It's actually a fifth, and therefore you're Mavato the Mecha. Says Bito Mecha Chav. If you sold Shiva for Shita, then it would be called Mechila. Whereas Shmuel clarifies once again, Vishmuel Amar. Ki Amrinan Mechila Bito Mecha. All of the areas below and above the sixth is only where it's below and above based on two criteria. Heichad aleka shtut mishnei tzadim, aval heichad ika shtut mitzad echad. If you've got a shtut in any direction, if you can call that a shtut, then we call it ona'az. Or shtut is a lot broader than we thought. Now, let's take a look and see how that fits into the Mishnah. Tanan. Ho'ona'a arba'a kesev miyasrim v'arba'a kesev l'sela shtut l'mekach. Now, read that carefully. It's saying 4 out of 24, which certainly seems to mean that 4 is the shtut of the mekach. Now, that's telling me you took something that was shavi esrim, was worth 20, and you sold it for 24. And you're calling that, because it says out of, right? 4 out of 24. So that means the 4 you paid was now considered to be a 6, but it's not a 6. If it was worth 20 and you sold it for 24, it's not a 6, is it?
Less than a 6.
It's a fifth. It's more than a 6, right? Because a fifth of 20 is 4, and this guy's making a fifth more. Nonetheless, the Mishnah is calling it a shtut. So obviously the Mishnah is telling us like Shmuel. Shmuel min ha-shtut ma'ot na mishan. You know, I mean, maybe that's all Chiddush the Mishnah. That when I say a sixth, don't think it means like Rav. It means even like Shmuel, that a shtut would be measured by the ma'ot. Nah, it says Rav. Nah, it means that you sold something worth 24 for 20. If you sold something 24 for 20, then the seller has now lost 1/6 of its value. Because that 4 was 1/6 of 24, not 1/5 of 20. Says the Gemara, oh, no. Because then who is the one that got cheated in that case? The seller. Me the Tanah Mocher. But the Mishnah is not talking about a case, as we already saw, where the seller was Nitaneh. The Mishnah is clearly talking about a case where the buyer was nitanet. Because take a look at the Seifa, Ema Seifa. Ad matay mutar lahachzir, b'chdei shi'ar'eh litagar or likrovo. Now, clearly, as Ragam pointed out, when you're talking about to show what? I mean, the seller can't show it, the buyer can show it. So this whole deal is only in terms of the lokeach. Lo shana lo lokeach. The mocher can always come back and say, good God, I was walking down the street 3 months later and somebody else was selling precisely the same thing, and I discovered that I undersold. So I want you to pay me the difference. So he can be chozer liolam. The shear that's given in the Mishnah can only be for a lokeach, which means that the Mishnah is referring to the lokeach. So how can you say that it's talking about in a case where the mocher made only 20 instead of 24, and that's the sixth? So again, it's a raya to Shmuel. If it's talking about a case of lokeach, then an additional price of 4 out of a real price of 20 is a fifth more, and he's calling it a sixth in the Mishnah. So that means that we go according to the Ma'ot, right? No, says Rav, I can still explain the Mishnah. Maybe the Mishnah means 4 out of 24, not in the actual exchange. 4 out of a value of 24, meaning that you charge 28. In other words, the amount charged is not in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is giving you the percentage of the value of the chafetz. That's how I understand it. So 4 out of 24 that it was worth, you added onto the price and sold it for 28. In which case the lokeach was being cheated by 1/6 of the value of the item. And then you have a right to go and demand the difference in price because you overpaid. That's called ona'ah. That's how I understand the Mishnah, says Rob. Now, it also, we're going to go through, and Tosef says, I have no idea, why are we doing this? We're going to go through exactly the same argument reading Rivi Tarif. And it's word for word the same argument, obviously, and it's a little bit silly for us to redo this. And Tosef says, I have no idea what it is that the Gemara thinks it's adding over here. So some of the other Rishonim say, look, both items were initially raised in the Beit Midrash. We can't, it's very hard to talk about the abstraction of our answer. So in order to talk about the concrete answer, 24 to 28, then it would have to be 24 for 32. In other words, and we need to explain what we mean on Ibn Rabbi Tarfon differently than what we say, what we mean, because otherwise you'd have to say, well, what we mean is that you took the amount that was extra, added it on, and then sold it for that, which is very hard for the reader to understand. So the Gemara goes through both cases, both Aliba the Tadakama and Aliba the Rabbi Tarfon, but it boils down to exactly the same discussion. So now, it says in the Mishnah Tanah, Hora Rabbi Tarfon Belot, Ho'ona'ah Shmoneh Kesev Nesrim V'arba'ah Kesev L'Sela. It's 8 out of 24, which is 1/3 of the Mecca, which again we assume means 8 out of 24 in the actual sale, meaning that he sold something that was worth 16 for 24, which is 50%, not 33 and a third percent, unless you're holding like Shmuel, 33 and a third percent out of the money that was paid. But it's 50% more of the actual value. And nonetheless, we're calling it a little bit of retarfen, a sixth, right? A third, rather. So how do you explain that? Shema Minash Lishma Nami Shanino. Clearly, he's explaining the concept of a third according to the Ma'ot. Says the Gemara Lo. That's not the case. Same thing that we said before. He took something worth 24 and he sold it for 16. And that's exactly 1/3. No, because then who would be the one that was cheated? The seller. Minitana mocher. But the Mishnah obviously is not talking about a case where the mocher was cheated because Ema Seifa. Omar lahem kol ayom mutar lachzor. V'yom Reb Nachman lo shana elo lokeach av mocher leolam chozer. So he was only referring... to a case where the buyer was cheated. So now how are you going to read the Mishnah? And we give exactly the same answer. You took something that was worth 24, added 1/3 of the 24, which is now sold for 32. So 8 out of 24 is 1/3, and that would be the amount of the Mecca, says Rav, not of the Ma'ot. Now, in fact, Tanik HaVatei Shmuel, we do have a braita that says that we look at the money as well. Because it says like this, Nishu Hutal Alav, the guy who was the victim of the gouging, or the underpricing, either the seller, buyer or the seller, as the case may be, he is in the position of Yado Ala Elyona. He is now empowered to determine what the what the disposition of this sale is going to be. If he wants to, he can say, "Tain li mo'otai." He could say, "I want to return this. I don't want to deal with you. I'm giving back what I bought from you." But if he wants, he can say, "Tain li mashu onitani." Give me back the difference between the correct price and the price that I paid, or the correct price and the price for which I sold. So depending on who the guy was, it's up to him to decide how is it that we're going to proceed, if it's precisely a shtut. If it's more than a shtut, it's not up to him. There is no sale, period. Now you can decide what to do at this point. So you'd have to agree on what to do. But it's basically, it's back where it was. Yeah, you could come to an agreement. So now, Kate said, let's look at the case that's brought, and we'll see that it's precisely like Shmuel. Suppose you sold him something that was actually worth five for six. Minetana lokeach. Who was cheated in that case? The buyer. So therefore, Yad lokeach elo yonah. The buyer cannot decide if he just wants the difference between the correct price and the price he paid, or whether he wants to cancel the whole thing. So rotzor matenli mo'otai, or he could say, "Oh, tenli mashu unitani, give me back what it is that you cheated me." Now, excuse me, but if you sold him something worth five for six, then you've cheated him by 20%, not 16.6%, because you took off a full fifth and added it to the five to make it six. Unless, of course, this is precisely what Shmuel is saying, namely, that if the ma'ot represent the difference of six, that's also called sixth and not a fifth. And so we see the Tanika Vatiki Shmuel. We also, of course, have the other case. In a case where Mochar Lo, where the seller sold him now something that was worth six for five, in that case, Minitana Mocher. Now the Mocher has lost the sixth. In that case, Yad Mocher al Ha'elyona, and the seller is al Ha'elyona, Ratzo Omer Tenli Mikri, O Tenli Masha Onitani. This part, of course, is not where we're bringing the Raya from, but the interesting piece to us was that first thing that can only work out, Aliba de Shmuel. The question is, what would be the din if you say that a shtut is precisely a shtut? Iboyalo. Pachot mishtut. L'rabanan. So we said, according, remember, there's one thing that isn't clear in this Mishnah. The amount of time that you have available. Amount of time for what? For canceling the sale completely. The amount of time for claiming that it's mechila. The amount of time for demanding the ona'ah back. Which one exactly are we talking about over here? Pachot mishtut is that le'alter have mechila, so that even if the guy comes back a minute later and changes his mind,
too late.
Or he rang it up. Exactly. Now, your first reaction to this is, if mechila also is given a time, then what's the difference? Because you're saying you can come back as long as you didn't check it. You can come back and say, "I want the difference in money." But that's the same thing you would say if it was a shtus. You have the same amount to come back and say, "I want the difference in money." So then there's no difference between less than a shtus and more than a shtus. That's your immediate reaction, right? If you're telling me that mechila is also only mechila when the guy becomes aware, and if he's not Michael, when he becomes aware and gets his money back, then a sixth and less than a sixth is precisely the same. Because that's what happens for a sixth too. If he doesn't come back in that amount of time, that's also considered to be mechila. So what's the difference? That's what your reaction is going to be, right? So do we say, la'alter havi mechila, b'kadeshi arela tagar ola krova. Now, im tim tzolomer, and if you try to tell me, now that's a stupid question. Because if you're going to say that for mechila, b'kadeshi arela tagar ola krova, then ma'ika ben shtuta pachot mishtut, then there'd be no difference between the sixth and less than a sixth. You're giving him exactly the same option. You have enough time to check the price, and then you can demand the difference in value. That's what you're saying across the board. So why did you make ona'ah shtut? Is everybody following this? No, there's still a very clear difference. The difference is, ika, dilu shtut, if it's exactly the sixth, yadol el yonah. Remember, we said that. Then you can not only demand the difference in value, you can say, "I want to give this back." But if it was less than shtut, the most you could demand is how much you were cheated. And that's the difference. Maybe that's the only difference. All other standards are the same. We're not going to naturally assume that anything less. You find out you get it at the makola down the block for half a shekel less, which is less than a shtut, and come back to the makola and you say, look, I can get it down the block for less. I want my money back. The guy says, no, I'm not going to give you your money back. How much less could you get it for? 50 agurot. Okay, here's your 50 agurot. Yeah. But if it was exactly a shtut, and you come back and say, I can get it back, I get it for cheaper, the makolot down the block, I don't like dealing with people like you. Give me my money back. And then he says, well, how much cheaper was it? This is a shtut. So then he could force you to give the money back for the whole thing and go buy it in the other makolot. That would be the nafkamina. But the amount of time that you have available to you to make that decision is only until you get to the makolot down the block. So then, enochinami would be the same standards across the board. And the only question is, what can you do when you don't like the fact that you overpaid? That depends on how much you overpaid. So that's still a very logical and important difference, right? Okay, so I stand with my question, right? Tashma, chazru ledivrei chachamim. Ah, now here we get very interesting. The tagarei lud were so upset by the fact that Rabbi Tarfon said, you've got all day to change your mind, that they went ahead and they said, forget Rabbi Tarfon, we're going to go like the Rabbanan across the board, right? Now, what they thought in the Beit Midrash was that what Rabbi Tarfon was saying is that what the Rabbanan consider to be shtut is to be shlish, which would mean that according to Rabbi Tarfon, anything less than shlish would be the equivalent of anything less than shtut alib de Rabbanan, right? That's a simple way of reading the Mishnah? Fine. So now let's understand what the implications were of the outrage among the businessmen in Lud when Rabbi Tarfon says you have all day to return it. Because Rabbi Tarfon says kolayom. Now, if you're going to tell me that Iyamrit, so Savruah, so first of all, they assumed in the Beit Midrash, what we assumed when we read the Mishnah, that Pachot Mishlish, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is the equivalent of Pachot Mishtut, according to Rabbanan. I mean, that's what he seemed to be saying. And therefore, Iyamrit Bishlama, if you're going to tell me, oh, absolutely, that according to Rabbanan, Pachot Mishtut, you have Mechila. But Mechila only after you had a chance to do diligence. So that it would mean Bechdei Shiar El Tagar LeKrovo. And Rabbi Tarfon is saying, no, you've got Kol Hayom. Okay, Mishum Ahachti Chazru. So then it was worth it for them. First, they were very happy. They said, gosh, we can make a heck of a lot of money over here. People will be Michael. But now that he comes around and says, well, now don't be so sure that they're going to be Michael, because they've got all day not to be Michael. Or they forget it. I'd rather have them be Michael or Shtus than be able to come back later or 24 hours later, up to 24 hours later, and demand their money back, right? So it's worth it for me to make less, but to know that, okay, you know, that it's done, or almost done. If I call it down the block, that's enough, not 24 hours. So I'd rather get my sucker that way and not have to worry about his bringing the merchandise back. Okay. Mishumachi chazru. So first they were very happy and they said, my goodness, we've got double the amount of money to make. And now it turns out that you've got much more money to lose. But if you're going to tell me, Ela'i Amrit pochot mishtut rabbanan is considered to be mechila right away. So then that would mean, according to Rabbi Tarfon, pochot mishlish is mechila right away. So you understand the insanity of such a thing? The businessmen are very happy because they're making double the money and people will be Michael. But then when he says, well, in the rare occasion that it's precisely ona'ah, they've got all day. They'll say, okay, fine. So we won't charge the full shlish more. We'll charge a little bit less than the shlish. But we can make double our profits, according to Rabbi Tarfon, without risking the guy being able to take it back. It'll all be mechila. That's great. So then they got to be crazy to say, no, we prefer the Chachamim. Why do you prefer the Chachamim? If you're so smart that you know how to do your business so well, as Rashi says, the Tagarei Lod are famous for business acumen. So then price it in such a way that you can gouge just enough that the guy is not going to be able to take you.
Talking about business in Lod, first of all, the guy's father smoked it up and he's feeling so good he's not even going to do the Chichufim. So,
yeah, I didn't know that. Lud is heroin capital.
People go to Lud to buy their.
I thought they went to Richie's Pizza. That's what the cops thought.
If that's the case, they've been off the wagon for
2 weeks ago. They gave soldiers a hashish cake.
Oh, no.
The soldiers were out.
That's it? So you can't give cakes anymore?
It's strict orders.
You need a hashish?
Knock them out.
Are you saying seriously that they don't accept packages for show of soldiers anymore?
I just heard this out of Muslim. I can't vouch that everybody's keeping to it, but it's my son 2 weeks ago.
That's great. Mama Jean lives. We had a cook in the yeshiva that used to do that. She kept the kids high all the time.
Only some of them.
What? Only during the summer?
No, only some
of the kids. Okay. All right. So This is California 35 years ago.
Ash brownies, yeah.
All right. So anyway, so then what are you saying? Let's see this inside. Let's see this inside now. So if you're going to tell me, that less than a shtut according to Rabban is la'al t'rabim if you. In which case, the Rebbe Tarfon, we're assuming that it's the same thing, that pachot mi shlish is the same as pachot mi shtut, and it's also la'al t'rabim akila. So why in the world would they go back to the words of the Chachomi? Amai Chazru, they still have an immense spread, double the amount of money, and they should obviously stick with Rebbe Tarfon. So, but Rebbe Tarfon nechlu tvei, right? Because I mean, the Mike Rabbanan, Kamashulo and Aam, Rebbe Tarfon Avim Mechila. According to this, the whole area between 1/6 and 1/3, tremendous amount of money, is according to Rebbe Tarfon, perfectly okay, and they're going to be Mechalit. No, that would be a true argument if your initial assumption was correct. Your initial assumption was based on a complete misapprehension of what Rebbe Tarfon was saying. Rebbe Tarfon was saying, in me, Savard, what you think of what Rebbe Tarfon meant is let us substitute the word shlish for the word shtus. That's not what he was saying. Mi Savarta pachot mishlish l'Rebbe Tarfon is the equivalent of pachot mishtut l'Rabbanan dami? No. Mishtut ve'ad shlish. Rebbe Tarfon is saying, I say that the amount of ona'ah is a spread between a sixth and a third. But I'm certainly not saying that it's mechilah. That's what I'm saying. Up to a third is not bitomeka. That's what I'm saying. But certainly from a shtut and up until a shlish, according to Rebbe Tarfon, is the equivalent of a shtut atzma. That's the point. So what the Rabbanan call shtut atzma, which gives you the right to change your mind when you become aware of the price, I say you've got a much broader area in which you could bring it back and get your price back. And therefore, it would be, according to him, also ona'ah. There's no mechilah. There's no greater mechilah. Well, if there's no greater mechilah, what were they happy about? I mean, he hasn't done anything for them. So, Iyaki, but my son, as a matter of fact, he's made life much harder for them, you see. Because according to Rebbe Tarfon, you would now say that up until a third, the guy could come back and demand his money in terms of a difference. According to the Chachamim, he could say that, and you could say to him, no, sir, the sale is canceled. I only sell to suckers. And you can actually, as the seller, you could take the whole thing back, give him his money back. So now it turns out Rebbe Tarfon all along was worse, because Rebbe Tarfon would say, well, now the buyer can force you to sell to him at the market price. So they were happy with Rebbe Tarfon. They should have been outraged initially. Exactly. There goes everything. Now we can end up having to sell at a normal price. You call that a tagarlut? Selling at a normal price? I might as well move to who knows where. So then something is wrong with your analysis, if that's what you understood it to mean. So then why would they be now happy at all? How could they have ever been happy? Unless you say that they were happy because tifshot debito mekach l'rabanan l'olam chozer. Now we get to the crux of the matter. This was your question. Question is, what do we mean? This was our question. Which the Gemara, I mean, the Gemara hasn't really raised it, but we raised it as soon as we read the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that you have time to change your mind up until the time that you do due diligence, but no more? Was that the shear on being able to cancel the sale? Or was that only the shear on being able to get your money back and the difference? And that wasn't clear. If you're going to tell me that according to the Rabbanan, le'olam chazer, so now things start to make sense. Because then you could say they were very happy. Because Rebbe Tarfon changed the spread of bitomeka. That's the point. So then you could say, tifshot bitomeka l'Rabbanan, le'olam chazer. Because now comes along Rebbe Tarfon and he says, well, you know what? According to the Rabbanan, the sale would be canceled forever. And I'm telling you, you've got an additional spread of a third. So that they only have now till they do due diligence, you see. So they were very happy. Whew. Because like this, when we price gouged, we were always worried that the guy was going to come back 3 months later. That's all we need. Now, thank heavens, I'll leave it to Rebbe Tarfon, we can gouge. It's true if he does due diligence to get it back, but he's only got a limited amount of time. So then they were very happy. So therefore, it would be now something to be sameach about. So l'chora, that proves exactly this issue. So if you're telling me tivsha to bitomechal arbon alolam choser, so now it makes sense to kivan amal Rebbe Tarfon. It's ona'ah, and they were very happy. Then when he told them kivan amal kolayom choser, And then when he said to them, but you have a longer time to change your mind on the shtut itself. So then they went back and they said, we prefer the Rabbanan. Because Isaac, the Bito Mekach, the Rabbanan is also B'Kteshar al-Tagar l'Krova. What were they happy about? You're going to tell me that there was not a longer time, I'll leave it to Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan always said that you could return it, even the part which was real price gouging, only in the amount of time for due diligence, and not 3 months later. So then what were they happy about? I'll tell you what they're happy. They were happy about a shtut. We didn't tell you one little detail about Rabbi Tarfon. When Rabbi Tarfon created a spread, what he meant was the spread is from a sixth to a third, not including a sixth. That's the point. So according to the Rabbanan, the din of Einah and Chazora in terms of the amount of overcharge applies to a shtut. According to Rabbi Tarfon, it doesn't apply to a shtut. It's considered to be b'chila, the shtut. So you're right in terms of the spread of the overcharge. Einah Chinami may end up to be more valuable because there's according to the Chacham, there's less time to be able to change your mind. But Lagavi, the shtut itself, which according to Rabbi Tarfon is b'chila, and according to Rabbanan is ona'ah, it allows them to charge a little bit more. That little bit more is not significant enough to cover the damages of Rabbi Tarfon Shita in terms of giving you more time to change your mind. But now it adds up. Because the whole distinction between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbanan was really only the difference between shtut and yeter mishtut. So in other words, they could make an additional $5, let's say, on a big sale. New. So for that $5 to take the risk of a guy being able to come back longer, that I'm not willing to do. But that certainly shows that a libet Rabbanan, you can come back, indeed, only until such time as you were able to do due diligence, even legabe the chazoras of the Mecca. And in fact,
and in terms of a tagor,
exactly. That's what Rashi says in the Mishnah. A tagore lud were brilliant tagore.
They knew exactly what.
They knew exactly what they could charge. They knew exactly how to get away with murder. And there's a sucker born every minute. Now, the Tosis points out, according to Rashi, it should say di'iboylo, because in fact this was a question. Bito mekach l'rabbanan lo olam choser o delma bechteish yarel tagar l'krovo. That was our shaila initially, which now we have proven from this discussion. And imtim solomar, and I know what you're going to say to me. You're going to say, well, if it's bichtei sharela tagar lekrovo, what's the difference? Ma'ika ben shtut yeter shtut. There's a tremendous difference. Because a shtut, the guy who is nit'ana, only the victim, can have charata about the cell. Where if it's yeter mishtut, shneihem chozrim. My. And that question we just answered, according to your logic, in the difference between Rabbi Tarfon's Psak to Tagarei Lud or the Tanakama's Psak to Tagarei Lud, to be continued. Ha'ona'a, arba kesev yesrim, v'arba kesev l'sela shtut l'mekach. Ad matay mutar lachzir, ad kedei she'yare l'tagar o l'krovo. Ora Rabbi Tarfon below the ona'a, shmona kesev yesrim, v'arba kesev l'sela shlish l'mekach v'samchu Tagarei Lud. Omar lehem kol hayom mutar lachzor, no, forget about it. Yaniach lanu Rabbi Tarfon b'mekomenu v'chazru l'divrei chachamim. Itma. Rav amar shtut mekach shanino shvol amar shtut ma'ot nami shanino. So therefore, shavi shita b'chamisha, shavi shita b'shiva, kule yamal apligit about the mekach hazlino, v'ona'ah v'ki pligit shavi chamisha b'shita v'shavi shiva b'shita. The shvol di amar batar ma'ot hazlino, both of these cases are cases of precisely ona'ah v'ki. According to Rav, the Yomar Bata Mekach Haslinan, then the case of Shavi Chamisha Beshita is Bittel Mekach, because it's 20%. Shavi Shiva Beshita is Bechila, because it's only 13%. Shmuel Amar Ki Amrina Bechila Bittel Mekach, Echad Aleka Shtut Bishneit Stadi. But if you can find a Shtut Mitzad Echad, you've got a broad area of calling that a Shtut, and that's Ona Ahavi. Tzad, Ona Arba Kesem Yesuvi Arba Kesem Lesela Shtut L'Mekach. Does that not mean the Zavin Shavi Esrim Besrim Yarba'a? Ishvamina Shtut Ma'ot Nami Shanino? No, absolutely not. Means the Zavin Shavi Esrim Yarba'a Besrim. And because mean it on a mocher. Ema Sevan Matai Mutar Lachzir Bechteshe Yar El Tagar Lakrovo. The Omri Bdachman note that this is referring to the Lokea. Avel Mocher Le'olam Chozer. Okay. Take it the other way around. Zovin Shavi Esri V'Arba V'Esri V'Tmania. Now what the Mishnah means is relative, not of. It's not. Or Rabbi Tarfon Balod. Oh, no. Shemana Kesem Esri V'Arba Kesem V'Sela. Shli Shlemekach. My love, the Zovin Shavi Shitzri V'Esri V'Arba. v'shma mina shlish ma'ot namishaninu. No. Does Amishav yes to me arba b'shitza? No. Because then mitan alokei mocher. Ema sefer malam kolayom utar lachzor v'amir nachman lo shana el alokei achava mocher li'olam chozer. Ela does Amishav yes to me arba bitlatin v'trein, which is 8 out of 24, one-third. Tani kavati de Shmuel. Mishu talala v'yado ala el yona ketsa. Machalo shove chamisha b'shisha. Aha. Now that's only in terms of the ma'ot. Minit ana lokeach. So over there you de lokeach al yona. Ratzomer teni ma'otayot teni mashu uneti. Machalo shove shesh b'chamesh minit ana mocher. Yad mocher al yona. So you see that either mekach vis-a-vis the mocher or ma'ot vis-a-vis the lokeach is the same. And that's exactly what Shmuel says. Ratzom al teni mikhe o teni mashu uneti. Now, Iboilo, pachot mishtut, the Rabbanan, is that la'altar avi mechila o bechtei she'arela tagar l'korban? And I know what you're going to say. You're going to try to tell me in Timtzulom Rav Gadei, she'arela tagar l'korvos, and then there's no difference between shtut and pachot mishtut. Not true. Because there would still be a major difference. Either shtut yodo ala yona, which is ratza chozer bo ratza konu machzer ona'a, whereas pachot mishtut, your only option is konu machzer ona'a. Man. Now, our initial assumption was that Rabbi Tarf was simply substituting shlish for shtut. So that means that pachot mishlish alibid Rabbi Tarf is the equivalent of pachot mishtut alibid Rabbanan. So yeah, but mishlish pachot mishtut Rabbanan bechtei shera la tagar or the krovan. And now Rabbi Tarf is coming along and saying kol hayom. That would make sense for them to be outraged. Rabbi Shmuel chazru. But if you're telling me, pachot mishtut Rabbanan is the altar avi mechila, which gives you, according to Rabbi Tarfa, nami la altar avi mechila, they got to be crazy to be chazul divrei chachamim. They can make double the money with mechila and not have to worry about being able to get your money back at all. So don't get into the money back part, which is only the shtut. They're smart businessmen. They know how to avoid that problem. So am I chazru? Because clearly, but Rabbi Tarfon nechlu tvei. The ma'ad rabbanu kamash v'lo ana'ah. According to Rabbi Tarfon, is mamish straight out mechila. No, misunderstand Rabbi Tarfon completely. Mi savarta pachot mishlish Rabbi Tarfon is kapachot mishtut rabbanan dami. He was staying mishtut ve'at shlish. Rabbi Tarfon is the equivalent of shtut atzmal rabbanan dami, and you don't have mechila. So if you don't have mechila, so then they don't get very much out of it, only for the guy who never does due diligence. But if you're giving me more time to do due diligence, now it's worse for me. So forget about it. It's even worse because now it's all up to him. I'd rather be all up to me. So if now you're telling me that the case over here would be, so if Kishtut Atzmal Rabbanan Dami, then I have to ask you, B'mai Samchu Mi'ikara. Kivshot the bitul mekach rabbanon liolam choser the kivet amal Rabbi Tarfon aviyona. They were very happy because so now you don't have liolam choser. You only have up until 24 hours. So kiamalu kol ayom chazru because Isaac died with bitul mekach rabbanon b'tei shiarela tagar lekrovo. So b'may samchu now samchu b'shtut atzma. According to Rabbi Tarfon, that would be mechila. According to Rabbanan, it would be ona'ah, because in fact, he boilu, bito mekach l'Rabbanan, li'olam chozer de mebechtei shi'ar'e l'tagar l'krovo. V'im timtzel omar, bechtei shi'ar'e l'tagar l'krovo, ma'i ike ben shtut v'yeter ha'shtut? That's silly, of course, a major difference. Ike dilu shtut, mi shinit anah chozer, v'ilu yeter ha'shtut, shnehem chozerim. My...